The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
My last Sunday with you, I had a conversation with one of my dear many friends in this church, Brother Leo. I love that man and have known him for years and appreciate his faithfulness through the years. You can build a church with men like Leo, faithful men. And we struck up a conversation about heaven. He had been either reading a book or listening to the pastor at First Baptist Dallas as he was maybe in his book or on TV, I don't remember which, was dealing with the topic. We got to talking about it a little bit. And on my way home that day, Leo, I got to thinking about heaven. You got me to thinking, buddy. And so my last service with you out of these four, I hope it's not the last. Hope y'all have me back one day. Pinch hit for your next preacher, supply or something for him. But I want to ask you to rethink heaven with me today. Rethink heaven. This will not be the best sermon you've ever heard about heaven. But it may be the most different sermon you've ever heard about heaven. I'm going to try to get you to think about it in ways you've never thought about it before. Leo got me to thinking about it. And so I'm speaking this morning on the subject, rethinking heaven. You may not think you need this message right now. Life's going real good for you. You're not all that interested in the next life yet. You'll cross that bridge, you think, when you get to it. I promise you one day you'll need this message. And you'll cherish this message. If not now, one day. When you lose that special one dear to you. And so forth. So I'm reading now from John chapter 14. And I'm going to begin with verse 2. And you listen to these familiar words. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place," notice that, "a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there in that place, you can be also." It used to be said of some people that they were too other world interested. That's not something that can be said about very many people today. If we're honest, we live our days with our attention fixed on the things of this life. We're focusing in sometimes on the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. God forgive us. And I think that a healthy antidote for some of the ills that plague our society would be some fresh, biblical, other world emphasis. If heaven is your home, if heaven's your destination, if heaven is one of the greatest things you can contemplate, then you ought to think about it. So let's rethink heaven. I'm going to approach the subject in this fashion. I'm going to deal with three of the most popular questions raised about heaven. Question number one, heaven, what is it? Question number two, heaven, where is it? And question number three, heaven, what's it like? And then in the closing moments of this sermon, I'm going to deal with the most important question about heaven. Question four. I'll reveal it in the closing moments. Question number one, heaven, what is it? I'm glad you asked. It is a major theme of Holy Scripture. The place is referred to hundreds of times in your Bible. Sometimes it's called a country. The better country the prophet sought after. Sometimes it's called a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Sometimes it's called a house. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, are rooms." For sure, it's a real place. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. But there's one thing, brothers and sisters, that stands out above everything else in the Bible about what heaven is. See if you can spot it. I think you're smart enough to spot it. I'm going to let the Bible answer the question what heaven is. Revelation 21. I'm going to skip around in this chapter. You listen. Revelation 21, look at verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city. You might want to underline that word city, or at least remember it. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Coming down through the third heaven, through the second heaven, the first heaven. There's three heavens in the Jewish mind, and this is the New Jerusalem, the city. Look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. There it is again. The holy Jerusalem. Look at verse 12. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Verse 15, and he who talked with me had a golden reed to measure what? The city of God. An angel had a measurement. He's going to measure God's city. The gates, the wall, etc. Don't miss verse 16. You have the biblical dimensions of heaven. The city, there's the word again. The city is laid out as a square or a cube. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed. The angel measured the city. Here's the dimensions. 12,000 furlongs. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. You say, Brother Wayne, what is heaven? The Bible just told you. It's God's great holy city, New Jerusalem. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. If heaven is just a city, I don't know about that. I don't know we'd have much room once all the saints from all the centuries got there. We wouldn't even have elbow room if it's just a city. Hey, you've never really studied how big that city is, have you? Now, Theo and I got talking about this right here. My best subject's been math. I don't know how good I am in that, but it was my best subject. And one day I took these biblical dimensions of the New Jerusalem and I tried to break it down, wrap my mind around how big heaven is. And here's the way I did it. Notice it said the city is 12,000 furlongs long, 12,000 furlongs wide, and 12,000 furlongs tall. For the length, the width, and the height of it are equal. A furlong is a biblical measurement of 1/8 of 1 mile. You do the math, that means the New Jerusalem heaven is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles tall. So what I decided to do is to take that cube of heaven and divide it in floors of stories. I've been to the World Trade Center several times before it crashed. It had over 100 stories in each tower. I've been to the Empire State Building, over 100 stories. If you were to divide heaven into floors of stories, you can divide it any way you want to. You're still going to get the same final result that I come to. I decided I'd make every floor in this heaven have a 15-foot ceiling level. Now remember, one floor would have not a 9 or 10-foot ceiling level, but a 15-foot ceiling level. And it'd be 1,500 miles wide and long with a 15-foot ceiling level. And on that one floor, there'd be 2,250,000 square, not feet, but miles of space on that one floor. And it's 1,500 miles tall. That means there'd be 528,000 of those floors. And you put it all together, in heaven you've got a grand total of, don't miss this, 1,188,000,000,000 square miles of space. I'm trying to get you to think about it in ways you hadn't thought about it before. According to the Department of Eugenics, they estimate about a little over 30 billion people have lived on the planet since God created it. If everybody's ever lived on this planet, let's take that figure, 30 billion. Let's say all 30 billion of them went to heaven. This is how big heaven is. There'd be 198 square miles of space for every family of four in heaven if everybody ever lived went there. Now, you know and I know that not everybody's going. If half the people that ever lived here goes, there'd be almost 400 square miles of space for every family of four. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you what heaven is. It's God's vast, big, huge, celestial city, the New Jerusalem. Hey, I'll tell you something. When you get to heaven, you won't find a no vacancy sign. God's got plenty of room for everybody, amen? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should repentance. You've traveled a few places like I have in life. We think we've seen something. Man. You say, well, preacher, I'm not with you on this, preacher. Okay. Just be wrong. I'm just kidding. Lighten up a little bit. You say, Brother Wayne, that verse 16, I don't think y'all interpret that literally. Okay. I've been to school, studied a little bit. Let's do it the other way. Let's interpret Revelation 21:16 allegorically, metaphorically, symbolically, not literally like I've interpreted it. You know what you end up teaching and saying about heaven? The same thing I'm teaching and saying about heaven this morning. What is heaven? God's big city, New Jerusalem. Question number two, where is heaven? Oh, man, Brother Wayne, you coming over here from Shreveport to Mooringsport, you going to tell us where heaven is? Well, I'm going to give you what the Bible says about that. I mean, if heaven's a real place, it's got to be somewhere. Would you agree with that? I mean, you don't have to be a Harvard egghead to figure that one out. If it's a real place, Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. That English word place comes from the Greek word topos. That's the word we get topography from, the study of places. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare this place, topos. So it's real. It's got to be somewhere. Well, where is it? I've been studying this Bible seriously for over 50 years. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible does more than just hint. It tries to let you know where heaven is. See if you can get a glimpse of it. When God made the universe, it is composed of billions, with a B, of galaxies. In each galaxy, there are billions, with a B, stars in each galaxy. And there's billions of galaxies. We exist in a galaxy called the Milky Way. We're on Earth, and we're one of nine planets rotating around a third-rate star, our sun, one of the smaller stars. It's a big world out here. The Bible indicates that heaven is up above the earth, way up in the vast northern regions of this universe. Stay with me. I want to read you some scripture. You might want to write these down. I'll refer to a bunch of them. Psalm 75:6 says, for exaltation or promotion or blessings come neither from the east, nor from the west or the south. The Bible tells you where the blessings you get in life come from. And by the way, the Bible tells you in James 1:17 that every good and every perfect gift you get in life comes from the Father above us in the earth, above in the north. Don't get messed up. It doesn't matter if you live in China or if you live in the United States on planet Earth, there is a north above our planet. And the Bible says the blessings you give in life can be traced back to the very throne of God. They don't come out of the east. They don't come out of the west. They don't come out of the south. That leaves only one other direction the blessings come from. A hint that heaven must be in the north. Stay with me. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, there's a reference to a war in heaven. A high-ranking angel, Lucifer, led rebellion against God in heaven. A third of the angels followed him, according to the book of Jude. And that rebellion was thrown down, and those rebellious angels become demons and fallen spirits we read about in the New Testament and so forth. The Bible says there was a war in heaven. Lucifer, high-ranking angel, wanted to be God and steal his throne. Tried to overthrow it. And the Bible says, Lucifer said, I will ascend to the throne of God. And he said, I'm going to take that thing over. And the Bible says in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, that that took place in the sides of the north. Telling you where heaven is. War in heaven? Where did war take place? Sides of the north. Read your Bible. In Ezekiel 1, verse 4 and 5, God dispatches four angels from heaven to earth. And guess what it says? They came out of the north to come to the earth. A hint that heaven's in the north above us in the vast northern regions of the universe. When John was invited to have a tour of heaven, the Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, when John was invited to have a tour of heaven, the voice said to John, John, come up hither. To go to heaven and see heaven, he had to go up because heaven is up above us in the north. It's all through your Bible and you just read it. And by the way, Max, music directors, songwriters, they don't always get it, their theology right in every song, but they do good. They do better than some preachers getting their theology right. But I grew up on some songs that told me where heaven was, even the songs. When the roads called, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, Randy, above. Have you ever really noticed in the Bible that when God thinks about you on this earth, hey, I don't want you to miss this. Whatever you do, don't miss this. Psalm 53:2. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. When God thinks about people on the earth, He's looking down upon us. Why? Because He's up above us in the north. You don't have to be smart to figure that out. And it's all through the Bible. Here's another reference. Psalm 102. Listen to this. 102:19. It says, for He, God, looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven, the Lord viewed the earth. When He viewed the earth from heaven, He had to look down. Because heaven is up above us. What is heaven? God's vast, huge city, New Jerusalem. Where is it? In the northern regions of the universe. Do you notice 1 Thessalonians 4:16 when Jesus comes back in the rapture of the church? When Jesus comes together, it says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. And He comes to get us in the rapture. And then it says, we will be caught up. To go to heaven, we have to go up. To come to earth, He has to descend. Read your Bible. Heaven up above us in the north. Up above the atmosphere. Up above the troposphere. Up above the stratosphere. Up above the Van Allen radiation belt. Heaven up above us in the north. Ask any high school astronomer. We can take our most powerful telescopes. We can turn them in all directions. And we see sparkling galaxies everywhere we look. Except when we look northward, there is what has been known for a long time as the black hole. Now, there are many black holes, but this is an enormous, amazing black hole. And it singles out something different about the north. Well, astronomically, astronomers tell us that the north is different. The Bible tells us the north is special. What is heaven? God's big city, New Jerusalem. Where is it? I think in the northern regions of the universe. If you've got a better idea of where it is, you come see me after the service. I want to see all your scriptures. And I got a few more I'll show you. Question number three. What's it like? You say, Brother Wayne, I'm not really interested. Oh, really? First of all, let's clear this up. Let's clear this up today. I live in the 21st century. I don't live in the 60s. I've tried to be current and relevant in the ministry today. I'm not hung up in the past. I thank God for the past. I take the best of the past, but I move on and capture the best of now. And I know that Christianity is more than pie in the sky when you die. I know that. I know that Christianity is more than escaping hell, fire insurance. I know that. I know that Jesus is a plus now. He's peace, power, pardon, purpose. Wow. Best deal in Morgansport. I know all that. And I know what Christianity brings to the table for the now. But I thank God there's heaven too. For if we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most miserable. You go where I went yesterday to LSU Hospital. And you stand there and hug that couple whose little girl, Bray Davis, was playing on her swing set. Mom and Dad was trimming the yard in the back, and she was cleaning the car out. One of the kids had upchucked in the car, and she was cleaning it up. This other child, the swing set would only fit in the front yard with the way they have to live, with this big swing set. And the little girl runs back and said, Mama, Brayla's sleeping. She rushed, and this girl's purple, and she was hanging on that swing set. And her life's on a thin thread, and you pray today for Courtney and Jason, that's the parents, and Bray. I went there yesterday and prayed over that little girl and precious people. And they're saying, Brother Wayne, if God's ready for her, we know what's ahead. They sure don't want to give her up. You go visit where I visit, the young that are dying, not just the old. You go where I go and you'll find out heaven is a relevant doctrine. If we have hope only now, what do you really got? They have estate sales in my neighborhood every week. All these people accumulate all this stuff and they're proud of all their cars and their portfolios and what they have and their lands and everything else. And now they're trying to get rid of it all. They're dead and gone. They leave it with their kids. The kids will pass it on to someone else. It's about time we start thinking about what's real and what really lasts and what's valuable. All this other stuff's passing. Heaven's precious. If you're not interested, you just must not believe in heaven, or you're just boring. Be amazing if anything would interest you other than playing with your toes. You're not too bright if you're not interested in it. And I get excited about heaven. Why? I'm going to have a new body. My wife and I have talked more about arthritis this week in 1 week than I've ever talked about it. She's aching all over, and I'm getting up with a new ache every week. Bible says this body's going to put on the immortal. The mortal put on the immortal. The incorruptible will be put on. This old corruptible will become the incorruptible. Going to have a new body. Praise the Lord. Going to have a new life. Flesh and blood can't get into heaven. You'll have a new body. It's going to be greatly enlarged in its capacities. 5 senses. We know the world out here. Taste, see, smell, touch, hear. We know the world out here through our 5 senses. Did you know that your senses are dull? Compared to some animals, you can't hardly see at all. Compared to some of God's creatures, you can't hardly hear at all. Your senses are dull because of the fall. Adam and Eve failed, and the curse of sin dulled our senses. We're fallen creatures. What's it going to be like in our new body when we get to heaven? And I've heard Randy sing a lot. I love to hear Randy sing, and I've gone where he's led worship. And I've heard music from back in the day at Summer Grove and other churches and places I go now. Here, Max, thank you. I get thrilled. I get to thinking, man, what's it going to be like in heaven when I'm really here? I'm just getting a tiny narrow wedge of the spectrum of sound right now, but I'm going to really hear one day. That's going to be good. I heard about a little boy, Max, just 4 years old, and every day he said to his mom, Mom, I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to go. She thought, that's strange, a little 4-year-old boy wanting to go to heaven so much. So she said, Son, why are you wanting to go to heaven? You just always talk, why are you wanting to go to heaven? He said, because I won't have to take a bath when I get there. Just like a 4-year-old, they don't like to bathe. You're going to have a new body. You're not even going to have to bathe that thing, brother. Yeah, I get excited about having a new body. It's going to be a great intellectual adventure. The Bible says in this life, in this body, I see through a glass darkly. The Bible says when I get there to be with my Lord, I'm going to know. Even as I'm known by Him. It's going to be a great intellectual adventure. They said the average person really thinks only 20 minutes a day. I mean, really stresses the old gray matter a little bit. We just do most everything out of habit. You know, just go through the motions. The average person really thinks only 20 minutes a day. Some of you not even average. Just kidding. Lighten up. I'm so tired of these straight-laced-faced Baptists. Lighten up a little bit. You know, they say the greatest genius that's ever lived, the estimates used only about 15% of his mental capability. What's it going to be like when we begin to really use it? Up there, we're going to use it. Heard about this lady, went to a doctor. And she knew this doctor for many years, and they grew up, went to school together, they were friends. And now he had become her physician, he had become a doctor. And one day after her exam and all was over, she was just talking small talk. She said, "Doc, by the way, if you guys ever perfect brain transplants, if y'all ever perfect that, I want my husband's brain." He said, "Why would you want your husband's brain?" She said, "I want one that hadn't been used very much." What am I trying to say? Really simply, that when we get to heaven, we'll begin to use it. It's going to be a great intellect. We're going to understand why God lets certain things happen in our lives that baffle us. We don't understand it. The song says we'll understand it better by and by, and it's right. We don't understand some theological problems. The Calvinists and the Arminians have been fighting for centuries. And we got a few folks today think they got it all figured out and they know it all. And they don't have half the brain some of these folks in antiquity had, and they couldn't figure it out. When I get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful to sit down at the feet of the Lord and let Him explain some of those things. It's going to be a great intellectual adventure. He's the way, the truth, and the lie. Yeah, what is heaven? New body, a great intellectual adventure. Exemption from everything undesirable. Revelation 21 verse 4, two words that bless me. No more. No more. No more pain. No more suffering. No more death. No more sin. No more. Exemption from everything undesirable. I've preached my share of funerals. When I pastored Summer Grove and some other churches, I'd sometimes have three funerals a week and I couldn't fluff them off on everybody on the staff. Maybe I could. I could have done a better job at doing that, probably, honestly. But people sometimes want their shepherd in certain situations. And I want to tell you, one of the things I get excited most about heaven is I'll never have to prepare another funeral searman. And I'll never follow another hearse to a cemetery. And I'll never look into the face of people I love who are crushed and broken. And they're wondering if they'll ever laugh again. And sometimes it takes them some years to be able to get there. No more sorrow, pain of the soul. No more death. Exemption from everything undesirable. Oh, it's going to be outward beauty is unsurpassed. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, John said, "I saw it. I saw heaven. God gave me a glimpse of glory. I saw it." And here's what he said. "It's like a bride adorned for her husband." That's how he described it. I've done a lot of weddings. And they'll come see me for premarital counseling. And she's a beautiful girl, and he's Mr. Handsome, very young. And then we come to the wedding night. I don't know what happened. She comes down the aisle, and she's twice as pretty as she was when we were counseling. He comes down the aisle, and he is one handsome dude. Somebody said maybe a girl never looked better in life than she did on her wedding day. I don't know. But you see, what I was witnessing all those years was a bride adorned for her husband. And John said, "That's what heaven's like. A bride. must be. The Bible just tries to describe it. Golden streets, pearly gates, crystal river, tree of life, jasper walls, jewel foundations. On and on I could go reading those things. Try to give us a glimpse of glory. No wonder Paul said, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered the minds of men what God's prepared for those of us who love Him. How beautiful heaven must be. When I was at Summer Grove on my 5th anniversary, now I'm from Satsuma, Alabama. God, for whatever reason, got in there and blessed that church. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of Brother Eddie. It wasn't because of, we had a good staff. We love the Lord and we serve the people. We try to keep our motives right and our hearts right. God just showed up. And we grew for all those years. On the 5th anniversary, they gave me a trip, a cruise. Satsuma, Alabama, here, folks. I never been on a cruise. They gave me a cruise to Hawaii. That's how I call it. I got on that ship and we went from Ireland. For 1 week of my life, I lived like the Hunts of Dallas. I could have lobster 4 times a day if I wanted. All I had to say, I want it. That's the way it was on that ship. We got over in Maui somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was. We was in Maui. My wife is, she's the class of our family. I'm cornbread and peas. But she's culture. She writes books. She writes music. She don't call attention to herself. I wish you could be at our home late at night and hear what I hear on the piano. Just serenading the Lord. Never been up front in any church we ever served trying to steal a show or anything. Just humbly serving. She loves flowers. She knows the names of birds and trees and flowers. I love football. We were over there and they had these lilies, orchids. That's what they were, orchids. As far as I could see everywhere, orchids everywhere. It was Maui, I believe it was. It was gorgeous. My wife said, I've never seen her. She's dignified, refined, school teacher, analytical. She almost lost it. I thought she'd gone charismatic on me. Oh, Wayne, look. Oh, my. I said, Linda, that's pretty, but it's just crumbs off the table compared to the indescribable glory of God's heaven. She looked at me and said, I know that. I don't know why preachers even have to be preachery on their vacations. I don't know why they have. But you know what, folks? I've traveled all over the world. I've been to Israel 17 times. I've been in the Middle East. I've been in countries I can't tell you I've been in. I've seen the most beautiful sights this earth has to offer. In America, in Canada, in South Central America, Europe. I've been blessed to travel. But it would be my testimony today of all the beautiful things I've ever seen based on what I encounter in the Bible. The best this earth shows us is just crumbs off the table compared to the glory of heaven. What's heaven like? New body. Great intellectual adventure. Exemption from everything undesirable. Outward beauty is unsurpassed. And last of all, reunion. Yeah, we're going to know each other. Oh, the dear ones in the glory. How they beckoned me to come. And the parting at the river, I recall through the sweet vales of Eden, they'll sing my welcome home. But I long to see my Savior most of all. Paul knew that he'd see those Thessalonians he'd won to Christ in the next life. David knew he'd see that baby that died in the next life. Immortality is real. Every culture, every recorded civilization can't help but believe there's something else out here. Ecclesiastes says God placed immortality in the bosom of man. He can't get away from it. He knows this is not all there is. There's something else out there. And the Bible says it's two places, heaven or hell. The most important question about heaven is not what is it, where is it, what's it like. I've just been trying to get you to rethink heaven. The most important question about heaven is this: when the rolls call up yonder, will you be there? Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. I hope you've made preparation. Let's stand, bow our heads. We never know what a day will bring forth. Live each day as if it could possibly be your last. Don't be morbid. But redeem the time. Don't think, well, one day I'm going to live and enjoy the journey. No, live now. This is the day the Lord hath made. Enjoy the journey now. No man knows what a day will bring forth. Don't you boast about tomorrow. And if, for some reason, the Lord would dial your number, say, your days that I wanted you to live are gone, where would you go into eternity? Are you ready? Today's the day of salvation. Don't miss heaven. Heaven's one of God's love gifts. There's more to Christianity than heaven. I've tried to say that. But oh, thank God we got this hope, a blessed hope of what awaits us. The best is yet to come, folks. And we Christians never see each other for the last time. And Easter's coming. We're going to celebrate that truth. He rose from the grave and shares victory over the grave with all of us who trust Him. Father, take this message. Thank you what your word says. You went to prepare a place for us. And no man could do it justice in any way. We fall short. We're thankful for that place. We're thankful for Jesus being the passport, the ticket to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If there's a boy here, a girl here that doesn't know Christ, a young man, a young lady, an adult, that here is not ready for eternity, I pray today that your Spirit would dial their number and would draw them to you, convict them of their need of Christ if they've never been saved. And may they humble themselves and say, yes, I want Jesus. Reject Him no more and come to Him. Bless this invitation. Bless this church. We thank You that some good things are happening. We want to believe the best is yet to come. You don't sponsor a flop. You never have. You've brought many a church through a lot of different things. The good seasons, the bad seasons. We pray for the future of this church that it'll have some wonderful days of ministry, touching lives. I thank You for the compassion that I've always seen in this church, the compassion ministries they have. And may You give them a shepherd that'll have a vision and show them how they can even do more to build the kingdom. So bless them, bless the search committee, the deacons of this church, the members of this church. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful until You say, come on home. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.